There's a whole show about it.
I know. Like, yikes.
Well,
you just don't engage.
Yeah. Sports moms, I'm sure, are the epitome of, like, generosity, kindness, and, like, self-control.
The ones that I have encountered are...
There's a stigma of, like, moms and dads, like, yelling at umpires and, like, children's sports, getting way too competitive at those things.
All over.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, basically, the real problem is kind of...
I've never yelled at an umpire.
It sounds like the real problem is just parents in general.
Could be.
Yeah, no matter what you do, you have to deal with parents. Well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and with me, as always, Katie Phillips.
Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Katie. And we have a new guest in the podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
Jenny. Good morning.
Jenny McKenna. Or evening, you don't know when people...
Oh,
are, and
sorry.
It's really not even really morning right now. It's noon.
Hi.
Yes, there you go. That's better. Okay.
Yes. Here.
Yeah. Yes, Jenny is on staff with us here at Lord of Life. She is part of the Faith Formation team, but kind of a distant part.
Yeah, I'm the director of outreach, so I coordinate all the social ministries and outreach efforts into the community.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so I like to think of it like if the Faith Formation aspect of, like, Lord of Life is like Gilligan's Island. Pastor David, who's not here, would probably be like the skipper. He's kind of in charge.
Okay.
Katie, who would you identify with? Probably Marianne, I would say. You know,
I have no idea. I've never watched Gilligan's Island.
Okay. Okay.
What?
Come on, you're a Gen Xer. You should at least have watched
She's
this.
Marianne,
I mean,
though.
Growing
I know,
up,
I know the Friends references.
There you go. Okay.
The professor in the I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, and then you know, I could, you know, people might say, yeah, I could be the skipper, or not the skipper, Gilligan, mm-hmm. or the professor. I'd take either one. Gilligan's at least the main character, so I'm fine with that. He's kind of a dim-witted, but the main character, and I'm fine with that. And Ginny would be kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters, who sometimes show up on the island,
right.
interact with everybody, and then go off and do their own thing. So that's kind of the thing. So and she does like a lot of basketball tricks in her office too, I'm sure. So.
Absolutely, all the time.
Yeah, she's spinning balls
sports.
On her finger. Yes. That Harlem Globetrotter soundtrack is kind of constantly coming from her office. That do do do
well,
do
now it's
do,
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 do, do. Have y'all ever seen them?
No.
Not live.
Not live. I have.
Shane
when
has.
I was a kid. It was awesome. Yeah.
Shane's seen them.
Well, let's talk about some news.
All right. Do 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 do.
Oh, you're freaking Jenny out.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
I didn't know we
Jenny.
Had to sing.
No, we don't. Just me. I have to do the music for our news.
All right. Have you ever had a themed birthday party for yourself or one of your kids?
Yes.
Every year.
Every year. Okay. Every year you have a themed birthday party. My son is 4 months old.
I'm not, like, what?
4 months old. Four months old.
Real fast.
So he's not had a birthday party yet. Uh-huh. But based on his interests right now, I can't imagine what the theme would be beyond, like, ceiling fans.
The first birthday isn't about him.
Yeah,
it's all about you.
Well, I'm saying the things he's into are pretty boring. The ceiling fans, the bottle.
You can have, like, box fans set up
yes,
everywhere.
Yes.
Like, come to our fan party.
It's in like
with
a furniture warehouse.
Lights.
Yes.
That blink.
What are some theme parties you've thrown for your kids? Let's start there.
We did a dinosaur one where we had a guy come out and show dinosaur poop. That was really exciting. And
Ooh.
Then
how does that work?
It's like petrified. And
okay.
So yeah. So
All right.
The dinosaur guy. He's around. He's from the Woodlands. And then I don't know. It was swim parties for the summer ones.
Sure.
Sports.
Yeah. Katie gave me a rundown of all of her themes yesterday. Give us one or two of your themes that you've done here for your kids.
Okay, fine. So for the boy, I did a Cars-themed birthday party,
all
obsessed
right.
with Cars.
The Pixar
movie. Yes,
yeah.
movie Cars. So it was all Lightning McQueen everywhere and mm-hmm. Lightning McQueen cake and everything. And then another one for the boy, his birthday's on St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. So the years that it has fallen on a Saturday, we've done a St. Patrick's Day mm-hmm. party.
Makes sense.
And then for the girl, we've done princesses.
Yeah.
We've done My Little Pony.
Sure.
We've done...
Did you have an actual pony?
No.
Okay, just check. I've been to a My Little Pony party with ponies.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was just saying.
Yeah, no.
It was next
yeah,
level.
That, I mean, that feels like...
totally behind on that.
All right, well, here we go. Here's our news article. One of our news articles. The 4-year-old boy in Norwalk has had a Costco-themed birthday party of his dreams.
That is
yes.
awesome.
Costco. That's the birthday party.
Did they get to go shopping?
Well, did you see the video of the Costco that just opened in China?
I have not. No.
Oh, my gosh. It's like 3-hour wait to get into the parking lot and...
Oh my goodness.
Turned away, mm-hmm. closing early. It was crazy.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a Costco? I mean, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Food court, free samples,
yep.
You know, bulk shopping,
mm-hmm.
everything a 4-year-old would love.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah, so they had it in the food court section of Costco. They shut it down for his birthday party. They That's gave amazing. Him a badge and a hat to celebrate his membership into the Costco community. Yes. He's obsessed with it, according to mom. Yeah.
Wow.
That's Costco. So nice that they did that for
that
him.
Is nice.
Yeah. When you were a kid, were you something weird that you were obsessed with that you would want a themed birthday party over?
No, my birthday is in September in Texas, so it was always hot. So we just swam. We had a pool at our house, so I don't ever remember a theme. Yeah. Like, there were games, but there was never, like, a theme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I had themes either growing up. I mean, my birthday is 2 days before Halloween.
Yeah.
So kind that's of kind of like, a given.
You kind of got the thunder stolen by Halloween always.
Halloween totally stole my thunder.
I did have a summer birthday as well. But I did have a weird themed birthday party growing up. I had a Gremlins 2 themed birthday party.
Wait, Gremlins 2?
Because I loved Gremlins 1, and Gremlins 2 came out around my birthday party.
Oh, okay.
And so we had a Gremlins 2
That movie themed scared me.
Gremlins. It's a good movie. God. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Well, this is not the only news we have in Costco news. If birthday parties are not your thing at Costco, perhaps weddings are.
Oh, my
God. It was perfect. This couple had a Harry Potter-themed wedding at Costco.
Okay,
what?
Wait. What?
Those are two very different things.
Why? Why? Is there more details?
Yeah. There's our pictures.
I do have pictures on my article here. Well, this is an audio podcast.
We can maybe post the link to the article.
Sure. We can. I don't know how to do that, but sure. We can. I don't know where we'd post it. But yeah, there's a link out there. Google wedding Costco. You'll get it, you know.
With Harry Potter.
Yeah. I think the first two are, there's not going to be a lot of competing Costco weddings.
Since I cannot see the photo, tell me about this Harry Potter.
So they fell in love inside of Costco. It was their first date. They met at Costco for shopping and went on their first date at Costco.
Maybe they made dinner together after, because that seems
for,
like a weird
for 30
first
people.
That seems like a weird first date.
It is weird.
Invite them both.
Yes.
Invite the friends.
We have so much in common, but Costco is our first thing, the bride told today. Yeah, so they rented out Costco for these things. The Harry Potter stuff, she wore like a Harry Potter dress and had a bouquet made out of paper from the book.
Oh,
and he
that's
wore
cute,
yeah, and he yeah. wore a blue and bronze tie because he's in House Ravenclaw. All Me right. too. I am also in that house, according to the Harry Potter quiz things.
Huh. Yeah, I think I am too.
I don't think I've ever taken a quiz test.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, you get sorted.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
Watch me really important. Be in Slytherin.
That makes sense. Yeah. Hey. So you're not interested in a Costco wedding?
No.
No.
I can't say.
There's food already there, you know, little bites, there's appetizers. You can walk around Costco, appetizers while there's pictures being taken, and then you have the food court right there.
No.
You know, I think it's nice to have a wedding where you do the wedding and reception on the same place. You don't have to, like, travel
I did that.
In between
Not
those two.
Not at Costco.
Yeah, at Sam's Club?
No.
I think the 4-year-old birthday is cute, wedding not so cute.
Okay, wedding is not as cute at a Costco.
I mean, maybe, but then you throw in the Harry Potter and that just makes
That's
it weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
Like if it was we fell in love here, we're going to stand here with our pastor, this is great, but no.
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. Well, that's Costco weddings for you. Yeah.
And birthdays.
Yeah, let us know if you want to get married at a Costco.
Uh-huh.
One more bit here, because this is relatively modern news for us right now, because the chicken wars have begun.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is started by actually one of my favorites, Whataburger, started the chicken wars on Twitter by saying, y'all acting like the greatest chicken sandwich of all time didn't already exist. And they're saying that's their honey butter chicken biscuit.
It's yummy, I will
that
say.
That is pretty good.
That's
it's
fabulous.
Really, really good. Yeah. I don't think it's a chicken sandwich, but
either.
It's really,
it's
really good.
It's a breakfast.
Yeah,
it's
that's
just,
more.
It's delicious.
It's too sweet. It can't be.
It's
a
on a biscuit.
Sandwich.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, like when I go to Chick-fil-A and get the chicken minis, I don't think, I just got four sandwiches.
Right.
That's insane. Yeah. It is delicious, though.
It is.
It's a breakfast item.
Yes.
For sure.
Uh-huh. And so that has prompted, you know, Chick-fil-A, you know, definitely the king probably of chicken sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Bun plus chicken plus pickles equals all the love for the original.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, and that makes sense.
Agreed. Yeah.
They are the, I guess, the king of chicken sandwiches.
But
there's
they're not everywhere, Chick-fil-A's.
Yeah. I mean, when I grew up, they were just in malls.
Right.
I guess when all of us grew up.
Well, I'm saying
I don't ever remember
cities.
Chick-fil-A growing up.
I don't either.
Yeah, they were just at the mall whenever. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember going there, and that was like a treat.
Right.
You go to the mall, and you have Chick-fil-A in the food court.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a new one, Popeye's Chicken. Chicken, this is their tweet. Chicken, brioche, pickles, new, sandwich, Popeye's, nationwide, so good, forgot how speak in complete sandwiches. I mean sentences. There's a period after every word, so that's an interesting thing there. All right, yeah. So, what do you think? Who's winning the chicken sandwich wars?
Between the three restaurants, or do you want my opinion?
Yeah, your opinion.
Well, I've had all three of those.
Okay, what's the best one?
I stand by Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with Chick-fil-A.
Right. Well, I mean, and they were good. I mean, I'm not saying they were bad. They were good.
Ginny, you're on keto, so these are not appropriate.
I'm on keto, so I'm not. But as I was telling somebody the other day, I lived in South Carolina for a while, and they are big on fried chicken sandwiches with honey mustard sauce on top. So to be honest, I don't love Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
When I get there, I always get the spicy with the cheese and the tomato, but okay. I don't really love their original number one sandwich.
Wow.
So
okay.
I think, I know, it's probably going
to... We might have to cut this podcast off here.
I know,
you
can edit this part out later if you need to. But I think, and I haven't had it, but I think I would like the crispier Popeye Southern style chicken sandwich better than...
Yeah. And that one has mayonnaise on it. So like at Chick-fil-A, you get it dry and you can put whatever you want on
and
it.
And sometimes I put their honey mustard sauce.
I usually just eat it dry.
It
gotcha. Yeah.
To do
you eat it dry?
I do.
I don't love it, but I love mayonnaise. So
I do love mayonnaise.
I mean, you can't go wrong with mayonnaise.
Yeah. There, you know, you can't go Katie and I had the Popeye's chicken sandwich yesterday. It was very busy at Popeye's.
It was extreme.
The busiest it's ever been.
Like, I'm like, the line looks like Chick-fil-A's drive-thru line.
But they are not as efficient as a Chick-fil-A drive-thru line.
They probably were not good at handling that.
All right. Here you go. Y'all out here fighting about which of these fools is the second best chicken sandwich. That's from Wendy's. And Wendy's is certainly not first.
No.
Nope.
All right, let's get to our main stuff tonight.
All right.
Since Ginny is a coworker, we're actually going to talk about Christianity in the workplace. We got some stories here about Christianity in the workplace. But before we get to two stories about Christianity in the workplace, Ginny is also our director of outreach. So I have a thing that a church has done for outreach, and I want to get your opinion on this, Ginny.
Okay.
So a church in Michigan will pay off about $4 million in medical debt in its community.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
That's pretty incredible, right? Yeah. So one of the things they do every year is they have a dollar club where they ask every member to give a dollar. They have about 10,000 members spread out over seven churches.
Okay.
You know, they're one of those churches. We are not one of those churches.
Right.
Yeah.
So like a dollar every time they come to church?
No, just $1. And then they pool all that together and they have a couple thousand dollars from that. And then they take that money to do something positive with it. So they have paid off debts. You know, they've
so
given
it's not
to charities.
Like they raised
$4
million.
Yeah, so they didn't do it all at once.
So they had this new idea this last year.
Okay.
And they asked people to give $3 or $4 this time. And then they were able to pay off this $4 million debt. They did not raise $4 million. They raised $30,000. But an organization called RIP Medical Debt buys medical debt. And then you can kind of... Mm-hmm. Buy it at a reduced rate, because probably for many people, if they can't afford, you know, a $10,000 medical bill, they'll never be able to afford it.
Right.
And so you can buy that debt for $1,000. So at least the hospital or the insurance company
gets
something, and they're willing to, you know, settle for the something. So what do you think about that? This idea of like buying medical debt for the community.
I think it's interesting, but like, I don't know. It seems somewhat impersonal.
Sure.
I know our congregation likes to be in front of people and really know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So the funds that we spend, we buy specific things. We help with specific projects.
Yeah.
So as far as our group is concerned, it might be a little impersonal.
Yeah.
But I think that being able to help anyone in a crisis, a medical crisis, is great.
And this is totally not the same, but like I kind of think of like the whole drive-through thing. When you like are the person in the front or whatever it is, and you're like
paying for the person
behind you, and then it's like the challenge to see how long it can go or whatever. I mean, not that it's the same thing, but I kind of feel like it isn't. Like, you don't know who that person is, but like, oh, to be the person in the second car. Like, well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, they just paid off the debt in their communities, their zip codes that the churches were, so it wasn't just around the United States, which, I mean, would have been fine to do anyway.
Right.
And then I think every person that they had that they paid their debt off for got a postcard or a letter from the church saying, we did this, you know, and you try to free people up from the burden of debt.
Right.
And, you know, look, somebody who is still paying off student loans, the burden of debt can be heavy for a lot of families. I think this is awesome. I think it's really powerful. I think it's neat. I think I'm glad churches are starting to, you know, seek creative ways to serve their communities and how they can look at the people in most need. You know, I think that says a lot that we live in a country where people can rack up thousands upon thousands of debt.
I mean, right. You're talking $4 or $5. Right.
I like
person.
That concept.
That's
yeah.
a great
you know,
idea.
At every whatever interval, collecting just $1 and then going and doing something.
Yeah.
I think that's really
yeah.
a great
For sure.
idea.
That's really neat.
That's
yeah.
a great way to get kids involved. Because,
right.
I mean, kids have a dollar.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily have $50
yeah.
maybe, but they can find a dollar.
Might be in pennies. But.
Right. Exactly. Sure. But it doesn't matter.
All right. Know? Let's move on here. Christianity in the workplace. A couple of articles here.
It's in our workplace, by the way.
Christianity is in our yes. workplace. That is true. We do work in an environment where Christianity is expected to be discussed,
yeah,
practiced, open
idea.
About it. You know, we're pretty open about those things. These are some interesting stories that I found. Maybe we're not as high on these stories as we were on paying off medical debt. So the Billy Graham rule goes to court is the headline here from Christianity Today. Do you know the Billy Graham rule is?
Well, I do because I asked you.
Yeah.
I did not know what it meant about 2 days ago.
I read the article, so yes.
Yes, I did send out the article here. Billy Graham rule is Billy Graham, when he was doing his evangelism tours, I guess, you know, going around the country, speaking at different stadiums and locations, talking about Jesus. Have you ever seen Billy Graham or been to one of his tours?
No.
I did when I was in high school.
I haven't seen live, but I've seen bits, not a full presentation.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, he's a compelling
he's a dynamic
speaker. He's very
yeah.
interesting, yeah. And he was very old at that time when I saw him in high school. But he had a policy that he would not meet a woman alone, like in his hotel room or at a bar for counseling. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't want, one, a photographer to take a picture of he's in some foreign place, some different a place from far from his home, meeting with this woman in his hotel or a bar, and then being like, is Billy Graham being improper? Yes. Yeah. And so he would just not do that. And I think that somewhat makes sense for Billy Graham, but many Christians have now said that's a way to follow the best aspects of Christianity, including our Vice President Mike Pence has his own Billy Graham rule and will not meet alone with a woman. Yes. So North Carolina Sheriff's Deputy has been fired and is now suing his former employee for religious discrimination over the Billy Graham rule. Because he was expected to train a female officer and have that female officer be his partner and refused. Would not want a female officer as his partner because of that's not okay according to the Billy Graham rule.
Okay, fine. I get it. However, there's one thing to be said about meeting someone of the opposite sex at a bar or in a hotel or in some kind of putting yourself in a kind of position that might lead to something. Mm-hmm. However, in the workplace, doing a training with somebody, like I don't
Okay, but this workplace training is sitting in a car all night on a stakeout or going around. I mean, partners have relationships often, I think, in the police world.
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, or even going to meetings, and I don't, it can happen anywhere.
Sure.
I think.
I would agree, but I think it also, if this is part of the job that you signed up for,
right.
you should be expected to do the job
right.
that you signed up for. And if you can't do the job you signed up for, maybe it's time to find a new job.
I mean, if that's what's important to him, then that's not the right job for him.
Yeah.
So he is welcome to leave, but I think suing is not appropriate in that because then it's infringing on her rights,
yeah.
being sexually discriminated against. You, this man won't train me.
Yeah, and especially you imagine if every police officer, male police officer, has that as their policy, we follow the Billy Graham rule. How does a female become a police officer in that county? You know, it's kind of a glass ceiling that you can't even penetrate because you can't break into where the men are if you can't meet with the men.
Yep.
You know, and so, and I think that makes it difficult. I think of other situations where Christians have taken a job, have found things that conflict with their faith, and then expected the workplace to kind of like figure it out for them.
Right.
You know, we had the lady in Alabama who was a county clerk and would not sign marriage certificates for homosexual couples because of her personal convictions, which I may disagree with.
Then that can't be your job.
But then you have this job.
Right.
Your
right.
job is to sign marriage certificates. Mm-hmm. This is a person that needs a marriage certificate.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She did go to jail for that and has been released. But, you know, again, I don't see that as necessarily persecution. Mm-hmm. You signed up for this job. Yeah.
Right.
You sought it out.
I think if it was a very large department, you know, Houston, Miami, LA, maybe he could have gotten away with it.
Sure.
And he could have said to a superior, this is how I feel, and they could have worked around. But if he's in a smaller department, he's responsible for training. So if he can't do his duties, he needs to step aside.
Right.
Yeah. So he, this is from the police officer in question, holds a strong and sincere religious belief that the Holy this is from his deacon at his church, sorry,
okay.
that this man holds a strong and sincere religious belief that the Holy Bible prohibits him, a married man, from being alone for extended periods of time with a female who is not his wife. And I don't think that that's really in the Bible.
Where is that?
Yeah, I've read the Bible, and I can't picture out these things. And, you know, the Bible has some strong roles for men and women occasionally that pop up that we as Lutherans maybe interpret differently. But this is not in there. This is not this case of...
Well, it could have been the custom of the time.
Sure.
But it's not necessarily mandated.
Yeah, this is definitely not a Christian mandate. This is a...
Yeah.
Billy Graham did not... write the Bible.
Not one of the Ten Commandments.
It is not one of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think in a police officer, yeah, okay, you don't want a female as your partner, but there probably are going to be times where you're going to be called to a house where there's a female victim and you have to provide counseling and take reports and things like that. Or you pull over a woman at night. What do you do in that situation?
Yeah, if you can't, like, oh yeah, so you were breaking the law, but you're free to go because I can't have a conversation with you to write a ticket.
Or I can't put you in the back of the cop car and drive you know, to the police station.
Because we might fall in love.
Yes. Because who knows?
You never know.
You know, that sounds like a romantic comedy. Yeah. You know, that's right there, you know? It could be star-crossed lovers meeting in the middle of the night on the... on a dusty road in South Carolina. Yes. Yeah, I think that this is definitely a little silly. Again, I think if that's your personal conviction, that's great. I disagree with it, but you should not be a police officer then. And then you go be a security guard, you know, or go work the desk job at the police department. But if you can't be in a cop car with a person who's female, plus, what if you do... if one of your other officers is not straight, but a gay officer, does he say,
that's
like, I can't work with a man police officer, or I'm not in, you know, I can't do that? That seems also, you know, the Billy Graham law, I think, though appropriate in some places, is not appropriate in every place.
Well, I think it's appropriate for what Billy Graham used it for, just to the facade of impropriety. You know, like, don't want to look improper, but he was protecting himself in that way. But as far as, like, thinking you're going to fall madly in love with someone, I mean, come on.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I personally follow a version of this myself. I meet with students occasionally. Mm-hmm. You know, I work in our ministry. And I make sure I'm never alone with a kid or things like that. Yesterday, I kind of met with one of our female students. Mm-hmm. She had some things she wanted to talk to me about. We met at Starbucks. You know, like, just to have that, I don't want to give the image of, like... a female student's in my office alone. That's just not something that's appropriate.
Right. Well, and back when we had babysitters, my husband would never drive the teenage babysitter home.
Sure.
At the end of the night, I always drove the babysitter home. Because he was just like, I don't like it.
Yep.
You know, just because, what if she said something, you know? So,
sure. Yeah, and that's not even the case of, like, I'm afraid these kids would say something improper about myself. Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's just not part of the ministry that I want to have. Or that's just not the relationship I want to have with a student. Right. Or that's part of the things going on. All right, Billy Graham rule goes to court.
It's a very interesting.
We will see what happens with this.
Yeah, because it's sexual discrimination on her part, religious discrimination on his part. So I'm glad I'm not on that jury.
Yeah, and even though I think the Billy Graham rule is stupid and I don't know if you can hold up biblically, I also am interested to see what the courts say about these things because, you know, I am curious of what happens there.
Yeah, I don't see it as a Christian thing. I see it as a legal thing.
Yeah.
Protecting yourself legally and,
yeah. All right, so speaking of chicken wars earlier, we have a story about Chick-fil-A.
I love Chick-fil-A. Go ahead.
I mean, I love Chick-fil-A.
I love
hanging out there. It's great.
I'll just go hang out at Chick-fil-A. Yeah. We don't even need to eat. Just part of the ambiance, the experience.
Hey, I used to love their chicken salad sandwich, but they got rid of it, so that's on them.
Okay. What about just this regular salads?
Salad? Don't they do chicken salad wrap? Like a cool...
Yeah, but it's not the same.
Not the same.
It's not the same.
Their chicken salad was pretty good. I agree.
It was.
All right. University dean resigns after school bans Chick-fil-A. She says, I'm a very committed Christian. That's the headline here from Fox News.
All right, so I read that one.
Yeah.
And I think that she is a much more mature person than the other person.
Yes. So let's get into this. So it's not just like, hey, I really love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And they did not allow Chick-fil-A to come onto our university. And I'm in the chicken wars. I'm a fighter for Chick-fil-A. This is not what's happening. So
I'm glad you said that. I did not read the article. And that's okay. Where I was about
to go. Yeah. There's a little more to it. Like,
yes. So Rider University, which is in New Jersey, banned Chick-fil-A. There was potential for Chick-fil-A to come onto their campus, open up an on-campus store. The private university nixed it because, and this is in their reasoning, because of the perceived opposition to LGBT plus community, LGBTQ plus community. And because of this, the Dean of College of Business chose to resign, saying, I'm a committed Christian. I share the values of Chick-fil-A. And if Chick-fil-A is not welcome here, I'm not sure I'm welcome here.
And I think that's a reasonable response. Yeah. The university has its right to defend whatever it wants. It doesn't want that there. That's fine. So she left in a peaceful way.
Yeah.
I think that's completely reasonable.
Yes, don't go back and sue the university. Right. Because
It's a private university. Right. Yep. If they have a large LGBTQ plus community,
yeah,
then what would that say to them? They're protecting their students. That's their choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think also, you know, this is the perception that is common of Chick-fil-A. And I'm not, I don't, you know the people who really are at the higher up of Chick-fil-A. I know the previous owner had a traditional view of marriage. Mm-hmm. He was an old Christian man. That's not really shocking or surprising.
Right.
You know, so that's kind of what he had. And donated money to organizations that I think sometimes have LGBTQ plus exclusion or things like that. And so
they're never open Sundays.
And they are not open Sundays.
Which is so disappointing when you pull in on a Sunday. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, you leave church and you're like, oh, I love it.
It's like, we have Chick-fil-A for lunch.
Oh. Well, now Popeyes is maybe
the new Chick-fil-A. Popeyes is the new Chick-fil-A. Their Sunday business is going to take off.
Right?
Yeah. That, we're not Christians, you know, is what they're this is not the first time Chick-fil-A has not been allowed into a public or into a private place or a public place. San Antonio Airport,
yep.
My hometown, denied Chick-fil-A as well. But also, it's hard for a business, you know, the airport or the university is going to draw money from these businesses. And if their business is closed one day out of the week, that's one day of profit that the university or airport is not getting.
Yep.
And so I think that also can be pretty tough to open it up. And I'm, again, Chick-fil-A, I think, has the right to say these are our values.
But they started in the mall. Isn't it kind of the same thing?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't run a mall, nor do I run a university or an airport.
Yeah.
So in an airport, every day is a busy day.
Yes, that's correct.
That's
yeah. There is no busier day than any other day. And so having any one day where business is closed, I would get. But
and Sunday's a big travel day. People gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
leaving for the week,
coming back on Sundays. Yeah. Yeah, right in time for work. And you know, you're traveling. I would eat a Chick-fil-A sandwich in an airport.
Yep,
it's better than some of the options.
Right.
Yeah. Well, when I spend a lot of time in Colorado, there's a Chick-fil-A at the Denver airport, and it's usually like the first time I've had it in so long. It's my favorite Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. So Newman resigned, and so Jenny, you think, hey, if that's what your point of view. Go ahead and
I think
resign.
She handled it very responsibly. Like, she saw that there was this conflict with her Christianity and her beliefs in her workplace, so she left. She's going to find a job where that's more acceptable.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that this is at least, I disagree with her point of view, and I also disagree, a private university has the right to say, hey, I don't want Chick-fil-A here because of its opposition to the gay community, and that's just something I'm interested in, and I would say, great, don't have Chick-fil-A there. I still go to Chick-fil-A. I still support it with my dollars. I know plenty of people that I know choose not to support it with their dollars. And I don't think it's a strong political statement of me to eat chicken sandwiches. I just like chicken sandwiches. And I don't think it's a strong sacrifice to deny yourself a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. Jenny doesn't even like them.
I know.
Right.
I'm good.
So, I mean.
But, you know, I think this goes back to our podcast a few weeks ago with the art versus artist, like
sure.
art and artist. And that's kind of the
it's
same
like
thing
it's like a chicken
here.
Versus egg situation.
No, it's not art. I'm just saying that they have very strong beliefs in something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't agree with those, at what point do you say, I'm just no longer going to eat their chicken, even if I think it's the best chicken on earth?
Yeah.
I'm just not going to buy it because I don't support those things. Same kind of thing as do we watch movies by Kevin Spacey? I mean, sure. just because
I have a hard time with that. Like, yeah. I often don't get bogged down in that, and I probably should be better about it. But, like, I like a lot of Kevin Spacey's movies, or whatever right. the guy's name was. Right. You know, sure. it was so awful. I'm not, I mean, I don't know.
I know. It's
tough.
Agree.
Yeah. It's a tough place to be.
It's very similar
yes.
to that, I think.
It yeah. seems so far removed to me, but I know that for some people it's very close and it's very passionate.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
if I'm like, oh, I'm going to Chick-fil-A and then I'm going to watch Usual Suspects later, I mean, I just ruined like a bunch of people's
right.
day, you
exactly.
know?
Yeah. yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I do think probably this woman in New Jersey is probably experiencing life for maybe the first time that many religious or sexual minorities have experienced for a long time mm-hmm. of like, I'm not sure the place I work mm-hmm. shares the same values that I have in my home.
Right.
You know, especially one of the things we've mentioned on an earlier podcast with Pastor David was here, you know, that for years, you know, society kind of assumed we kind of Christianity is the default. And if you were outside of that default, it would maybe been tough for you to explore mm-hmm. to work in a
right.
in a public sector, a private sector, and things like that. And so maybe now we're experiencing this idea of like Christianity is no longer the default. It's no longer the accepted view that every place wants Chick-fil-A and is okay mm-hmm. with an organization that is upfront about its Christian values and has a history of, or at least a perceived history of being against LGBTQ or gay people.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't just like they're Christian, we don't want them there. It's this view that they don't want to support or be a
right.
part of. And so, yeah, so maybe like everybody, we vote with our dollars in the university. Private mm-hmm. university said, we choose not to have this. And I think that's mm-hmm. fine. All right. Any other thoughts on this?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I think I'm good.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do our recommendations.
I still don't have a jingle for that.
Oh, gosh. Jenny, you got something?
No.
You know. yeah. All right. So, Jenny, every week we give a recommendation to our listeners. And since you're our guest, we decided you could give our recommendation this time, which I know you were very thrilled about when I mentioned that earlier.
Well, whenever I'm in a book club and it's my turn to pick, I always pick a book called Life is So Good by, I think, Brian Dawson. The last name is Dawson, maybe George. It's just about a man who was illiterate until he was 98, and he learned how to read and ended up getting some sort of formalized degree or something, I can't remember, when he was 101. And he just tells his life story and just has a lot of thoughts on, you know, being a good person and being a good parent, and just how he would only go to delis where they had the pictures of the food because he couldn't read. And mm-hmm. just it's just a really great story. It's uplifting. It's very heartfelt, so I recommend it. Life is so
Sounds good. Life yeah. is so good.
That's pretty powerful. That's cool.
Yeah, that is very cool.
I don't know if you saw, but I saw this on Facebook the other day. Mm-hmm. Like a retirement community took like back to school pics.
I saw that.
I did
so
not see that.
It's really cute.
It.
It's really cute.
I'll find it. I'll
yeah,
show
it to you. Okay. They all have like advice for students, like yeah. that they have written on their little board. It's
like
really
what year aww. They graduated, their age, their
yeah.
name.
And so it's interesting to see, you know, a community that are, you know, people who grew up in a world that's different than mine.
Well, and a lot of them, like all the girls said, eighth grade.
Is when they
like,
stop school.
When they stop school.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Well,
I was teaching in inner city Houston, and I was meeting with a parent about the child's progress. She's like, oh, well, she just really has to finish this year, and then she'll get married. This was eighth grade. And this was
and
10 years ago.
Was.
Like, yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
yeah.
I know, but I'm like, it's...
Wow.
Yeah. It was a cultural thing for them. I was like, okay. Well, I still want her to do her math homework, so...
yeah. Wow. Okay.
Wow.
All right, so Life is So Good.
Yes.
That sounds like a great book.
Dawson. I think George, but Dawson for sure.
Dawson. George Dawson?
I think so.
A Dawson.
A Dawson.
Yeah. Somebody. Dawson's the last name, though,
yes,
right?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, good.
All right. Where can you find us? That's a good question. Yeah, Pastor David's not here. He usually answers this.
I don't answer this.
Yeah.
BeyondSundayPodcast.com.
That's it.
Woo-hoo.
You don't need to include the www part anymore. No. People have gotten it. That's
sure,
a web address.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. That's
okay,
that's
fine.
A thing.
Okay,
yeah.
fine.
It's part of our collective consciousness at this point.
What about on IG? Where are we at?
On the IG.
Oh, look at me.
Part of the collective consciousness. Yeah, that's what we say. That's not really what people say. But anyway, it's
on Insta?
Beyond_Sunday. On our Instagram, which is kind of dead right now. We need to put some more photos on there.
Pastor David's been gone.
I know. I blame. I really blame him.
I know.
That's true.
And his decision to have another kid. Wow.
It's so fun, though.
Yeah.
It's pretty
cute. But guess what? He's back next week.
Yeah, woohoo.
And also, guess what? We are creeping in on 52 weeks of podcasting.
That is
pretty
crazy.
Good. How are you going to celebrate?
I don't know.
It's going to be the momentous 1 year mark.
I can't remember where we're at. Are we at podcast 49 or 50 today? I think we're 49. This week is 49. And then there are two more, and then we hit 52. That's pretty incredible. Good. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
who would have thought?
I feel the need for champagne.
I'm like pod party of some kind.
I know, right?
Yes.
I have like two cases of champagne in my office.
Okay, good.
Wow, Jenny. Man, once she's got her Harlem Globetrotter stuff and champagne.
Orange juice. Man, I'm like boxes.
All right, there you heard it here first. Yeah, that's what people want to listen to. So a little tipsy podcast here from the Beyond Sunday team. All right, well, we hope you enjoyed this. Be sure to rate and review us on your favorite podcast provider. And let us know if you have any thoughts or questions about how Christianity is represented in the workplace. These are two articles, but we know everybody is representing Christianity in their own way of how it is. Sometimes we do a very good job of that. Sometimes not as good. And the world is certainly different than even 10 years ago. So.
And also let us know if you've ever had a themed party. Oh. What kind of theme.
Yes.
Or your wedding. I mean, if you've gotten married at Costco...
We want to know.
And costume. I mean, it's got to be the devil theme.
I know, right?
Okay, and also a costume theme.
And also had Harry Potter.
I did have, at my wedding, a Superman t-shirt underneath my tuxedo.
Why not a Star Wars t-shirt?
We allowed to.
Like Clark Kent, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is a photo of our wedding that I really, really love of me, like, showing my wife on the dance floor that I had that underneath my tuxedo that she did not know about. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. And so it's pretty cool. I also wore that Superman shirt the day my son was born.
Aww.
Yeah, it was a milestone shirt, so I wore it. Yeah.
Aw, that's cute. Now you have to wear it on his first birthday party.
Yeah.
And maybe
it's Superman theme.
Oh my gosh, there you go. I actually left my name tag sticker on it and washed it from the hospital and so ruined it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we made it.
John had a Superman theme once. I remember that party now.
See? Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.